Welcome, H-Town, to the Ultimate Fan Experience. I am the host of this show, The Ultimate Fan, and today I bring to you guys one of my favorite guys I met a couple years ago. His name is Doug Vosick. He is the Vice President of Marketing for the Houston Texans. He's the man who brought H back to H-Town. The guy is amazing. I'm meeting him 2 years ago for at the Fan Council and seeing what he's done for the rebranding of the Houston Texans has been one of the coolest things that I've gotten to be a part of. So, Doug, first of all, thank you for letting me be part of that and being part of the Fan Council. And first off, how did it start? How did getting into the marketing start for Doug?
Wow. Do you have a two-hour podcast?
It could be as long as we want it to. That's what's great about being the host. We can go as long as we want.
All right. Let's do this.
All right. Let's go.
You know what? I could say growing up, I was always a creative kid.
Okay.
But I had no idea like what that meant. Like, what do you do with that? And I didn't probably have the mentorship of where that goes. So I went to college and I was like, I'll be creative. I'll be an artist. I'll be a marketer. We'll figure it out. So I didn't really have a plan. There was no plan. I got out of school. I got into event marketing. Eventually found my way into sales and telecom of all places.
Right.
Not a very exciting spot if you think about where I am now.
Right. Right?
So all I knew is like, hey, I love creative. I love being a marketer. I'm going to try to work at cool places. So cool brands within telecom. So don't go to AT&T. Go to like a Boost Mobile or a Virgin Mobile. Do cool stuff like that. And then, man, I did that for about 10 years.
Really?
10 years. And then I just had a break in my career where I had an opportunity to either go to Adidas or to go to Under Armour for like a brand role there. And I ended up at Under Armour to help them honestly launch their global football or soccer, right?
Right.
Business that they had. So that was like my first break into sports. And that was only about 10 years ago. So I've been working over 20 years and that was my way in. And then when I got to Under Armour, I realized as I was getting to work with all the clubs, like on their next uniform, whatever it may be, I was like, man, like club life is cool.
Yeah.
Like that's exciting. I need to find my way to a club. And just, you know, hard work. Hard work puts you in lucky positions. And I've landed at a team. I landed at my hometown team, the Philadelphia Union and MLS.
Nice.
Spent a little bit of time in LA for MLS. And then this knock came. And who turns this knock down, right?
Right.
You open that door when they knock. So
I mean, H-Town?
H-Town. At the time, we weren't very H-Town,
right.
Though.
I don't think we were H-Town at all.
We were very Texas.
Houston Texans.
We were the Texas Texans. Right. Yeah.
And when you came in the door first day, how were you greeted? How was it to be at a franchise where we were at, I would say, our lowest of lows?
Ooh.
I mean, ooh. For me, it was our lowest of lows. I mean, two coaches in 2 years.
Yep.
I mean, no better than a 2-win season. And then one of the wins coming at your last game, which kind of threw us off a little bit, but actually in a good way.
Yep, yep.
When you look at that.
I was here for that, though.
Yeah.
I was here for that. That was the end of my first season. So
How was that? When you went in there, you were like, man, we just gave up first place.
I would say in the moment, right, I was fortunate enough that I got to go to that game. So I was on the sideline to wrap the game.
And I was standing in the
corner.
So
I'm standing there, you're there, and
right.
And it happens, and you do have mixed emotions. Because
yeah.
Regardless of the outcome, we're in sports.
Right.
We're here to win.
It's a win mentality.
Right?
Right.
Like you don't go into that game going, oh, let's lose so we can both. Like, no, players play, coaches coach.
Right.
Like you're there to win. So part of you is like, all right, we won.
And the draft is months away. Who's right. even thinking about draft? Right. I know I was.
Everybody,
come
on now.
I was
come on.
A little bit about draft. But for me, it was still like I'm the win mentality too. I don't care if we're an 0-16 team. I still want that dub. You still want that win. Why not end the season with a great win?
Yeah.
You know?
And it was quite a way.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Right. So the other party is like, all right, like yes, there is the draft, there is an implication, but at the same time, like things happen for a reason. Number one, I do believe in that. And number two, you have to put faith and put trust in your leadership. So if you're looking at Cal and Nick at that time, like, all right, that may have changed the plan, but they're smart, brilliant people. They're going to figure out a new plan.
Yeah.
And we saw what the plan was eventually.
D'Amico,
right?
Ryans. That was the start of the plan.
Right. You know? So like, think about all that. Like in the moment, you always try to have a little bit of perspective of like, this is happening for a reason and put trust in the people that are experts at what they do.
Right. Second question. Now that the season's over, when you walked through the door, was it, we got to rebrand. Was that the mentality the moment you walked through the door, or was it something that you talked to Cal and Hannah and you were just like, hey, listen, I think it would be a good thing to do this, or was it even on the table at the first?
You know, there's a bit of a story to that. to be honest, and I'm here to tell it.
Absolutely. That's why I had you here. Yeah. I knew you'd be able to tell the story, and the fans want to know. They want to know why we rebranded, because you know and I know that there were fans that didn't want it.
This is true. I didn't come in the door with any hidden agenda. I came in knowing that we needed to evolve our brand. And that could have been done through a lot of different ways over 5 years, right? A lot of small moves over time, and eventually people wake up and go, okay, Texans feel different.
Right.
We're need
for the shock and awe.
Right. We're a little bit more H-Town. We're embracing culture and community better. And you can do that over years and just check, and eventually you stack up and people go, okay, you did it.
Right.
I would say there's a lot of work that happened before me that set up the opportunity to have a brand update.
Okay.
And the work before me was some of the work that Cal led that was about internal culture and internal change. And he put up this whole new manifesto for the organization about, you know, it's our charge to change. It's our charge to evolve. It's our charge to be fearless, which were very different ways to think for the Texans from where we were. So all that work was done before I got there.
Okay.
No exaggeration.
So the mindset was already there.
He was already putting that in. And funny enough, like my first day on the job before I even moved here, I had like a printout of his book, of the Charge book, which is our internal culture book. And it was like, pick out the pictures and pick out the fonts, Doug, like all this stuff. That was there already. And they had spent a year plus working on that. So the mentality was already there.
Okay.
So that's right. No credit for that.
Right.
Two is they had already made a decision on that red helmet. If you think about it, that red helmet was the first big uniform change for the Texans. It wasn't the jersey and the pant, but it was a helmet, right? So that helmet launched within my first month of being here.
Right.
That helmet was the catalyst. Because when that helmet launched, internally, there was probably some apprehension, right? Of like, oh, how is this going to go? We've never had an update. We've never made a change like that.
Right.
We've always had a blue helmet. How are the fans going to react? And they reacted, I'm not exaggerating,
crazy.
It was like 99% positive.
Oh, absolutely.
In a world of Twitter hate, right?
Yeah.
It was like 99% positive.
Yeah.
And the only hate was actually positive. The hate that we saw in the comments and the media was like,
we don't see it enough.
Change more,
right?
Oh, we don't see it enough. Why don't you do more? Do the jersey. And it was like, those are positive comments if you're embracing change and fearlessly evolving, right?
Yeah.
So that, without those two things, I don't know if we end up in this place, right? But that gave us freedom to think and to challenge ourselves further, right? So thinking about my experience at training camp, I met hundreds, if not 1,000 new fans,
right?
Over the course of those 3 weeks. And as you talk to people, you're asking them questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that helmet? Oh, I love that helmet. I wish we'd do more.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the old uniforms? They're nice, but you know, I'd be open to changing. So you start poking around, right? So I got a little bit of feedback on uniform. The other thing of feedback that we got was kind of where we started to chat a little bit was, hey, like, we're in Houston. This is H-Town.
Right.
You know, Doug, I'm sure you've done your homework on H-Town, but let me tell you about my H-Town.
Yeah.
Right? And let me tell you about how I think, this is a fan perspective, how I think the Texans don't necessarily represent our city yet.
Right.
Right? So at some point, probably 30, 60 days into my journey here, I said, let's look at some data, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have data from the fans from the Red Helmet. We've got data from fans, call it intercept discussions. But I would say like, hey, I talked to 300 people and 80% of them want some kind of change. 80% of them want us to lean into H-Town more. So I wish I could remember the day because this was the moment for me. It was probably like August or early September.
Mm-hmm.
I met with Greg Grissom, our president. I met with Cal. I met with Hannah. And I said something very bold. I said, listen, I think I have the answer. I know we discussed when you hired me, we were not going to do a rebrand. We were not going to do new uniforms. Like, it was very clear.
Right.
They said to me, Doug, we know what you do. We looked at your resume.
Right.
You rebrand places.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing that here.
Yeah.
Right? So I said, I know we weren't going to do that, but this is how confident I am. I'm going to bet my job right now that I'm right.
Wow. That's gutsy.
Those are the words I used.
Right. The gusto.
I said, I have enough data just from what I've been doing, and that's talking to fans.
Mm-hmm.
No BS, no hidden agenda, like direct from the fans.
Yeah.
I'll bet my job right now if I'm wrong. So that confidence gets you somewhere.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So we did that research for 3 to 4 months. But if you think about the scope of what we did over those months,
it was like thousands.
10,000 surveys, 50 focus groups, each with 20 to 30 people. Each one of those focus groups, like 2 hours. You think about over 4 months, like how much time myself and my team spent with fans.
And not just fans, but ex-players, you know, old players, everybody,
well,
you know.
We're all fans in some way, right?
True.
But
I mean, you brought in the like, hey, how would you as a you know, an a Texans player, how would you have liked to have been in this uniform instead of that? So
legends, I mean, current players, fans of all different types, fan groups, Battle Red Ladies, Somos Singers, Texans,
you know, rappers, the whole nine
everything,
yards.
Like, right? It was the music community.
Absolutely.
Like, all
you brought
crazy.
Everybody in, the whole mix of it, which was, like I said, over 10,000 people.
Yeah. To me, one of the craziest ones were the legends.
Yeah.
Because we did it during Legends Weekend of 2022. So that's when like 100 plus of the guys come in.
Right.
Right. They celebrate the weekend, they come to the game. And, you know, I'm going into that meeting and being like, wow, these guys bled for this team.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. Like they carry this team on their backs. They help make this. There's got to be some true, deep emotional connection to that specific uniform.
Right.
Because they wore it. Right.
Exactly.
When they look at their
Battle Reds, Battle Red. I don't
care
how you
when they open
it.
Up that archive box, that helmet, that jersey, like, that was theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked into that one to be like, ooh, these guys are going to be like,
they're going to chew you up and spit you out.
Correct. So I was floored when they were like, nah, Doug, this is dope. Right. Like, let's do it, man. Like, this would be cool. And then they'd be like, man, when I played, I always wish we had a little bit more swagger.
Right.
Right. And Dre told me, like, when he came up, like, there were so many rules about color of cleat, even.
Right.
He was like, dude,
like, you were not wearing
white
cleats.
I was just trying to wear a different color cleat.
Right.
And he's like, and now you're trying to change the whole thing? He's like, man, I'm a little jealous.
Yeah.
So, like, to hear that, you're like, okay.
And now we're blinging out. Now we're blinging out Jordan 1s.
Well, that, you know.
I know.
You
know. We probably can't wear them, but it still was pretty cool for
that. I'll tell you, every guy wants a pair now.
Absolutely.
Right?
I will say, I wasn't a big change guy, but when I saw the new uniforms for the first time, I was like, yes. And then I know that everybody was in the room was yes. And there wasn't anybody that I was like, oh no, I didn't like any of that. There, I couldn't find one person that didn't like something.
Something. And that was the goal.
You know, and that was the goal, right?
Yep. So you know, we went into that with something for everyone, right? So which one was for you?
Ah, to tell you the truth, for me, when we were on the focus group, I remember the first meeting we had and they were like, what would you like to see on the jersey? Right. And my thing was like, listen, we're a bull. There's nothing on our jersey that says that we're a bull.
Yep.
Nothing. And to get to say, hey, I'd like to see this turn into a horn. I don't care how big it is. I mean, make it a long horn, whatever you want to do, just make it look like a horn on the jersey. Yep. And for me to see that when it came out, the horn, and I was like, yes, that was an idea that I gave them, and they used it. And then when Cal was like, yeah, not only did we do that, but we put it on the helmet, Ultimate. And I'm like, what? Like, wow, you know, and to see that red helmet with that dark blue and that horn just shooting out of there, I was like, that says intimidation. And then the chrome on top of chrome with the gold flake and the two emblems. And I'm just like, wow. Like, they listened. And then seeing the red on red on red, for me was like, man, we brought back the ketchup bottle. You know, like, like, some of the fans were like, oh, I don't want to see that. But that was one of the things I wanted to see too. Like, I can't wait to see it on the field. And I'm hoping it's, you know, when everybody actually sees it for the first time on the field, it's going to be one of those games where you're just like, why don't we have this more kind of thing, you know? Yeah. And I know we're limited.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question then about the red. We do see the comments, right? We do have the fan feedback of like, oh, I wish we wore red as our permanent. Mm-hmm. I wish instead of blue, we wore red.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's because they really want to see red being permanent, or red just feels so special because you don't see it often?
I think, to tell you the truth, I think it's a little bit of both. Okay. When you really sit there and think about it, myself, you're right. You get to wear this battle red jersey, battle red game. That's where you get to see it. And then you're wearing the hometown blue every game. Unless it's, of course, you get the Liberty white game where you have one of those games. But I want to see the red more because, I don't know, it looks flashier on the field. I think that's what it is. And as much as I like the blue helmets, because it was, and technically the blue helmet wasn't really the start, the white helmet was the start.
I mean, on stage once, but never on field.
But if you've seen it, you know, when Bob held it up, it was a white helmet, you know, and everybody was like, yeah. And then they were like, wait a minute, I thought we had a white helmet. Now where do we go blue? And I mean, even the blue changed from this year to from last. You know, I mean, the blue, it looks.
It's dark. Blue, right?
Yeah, it's still blue.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But some people will say black, but it's, ladies and gentlemen, it's blue. It's a very, very dark, dark blue.
What's funny is as
it's actually called pitch blue. It's so blue.
You're giving like real inside info.
Absolutely. It's called pitch blue because it's one shade away from black being pitch black.
Wow. So you're giving away like Nike color codes right now.
I don't care. Try finding it. Try finding that color on any spectrum right now, and it's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, find a pair of shoes that matches that. I mean, if anybody wants to color coordinate, good luck with that. You know, even finding the Italy blue, like that's a crazy
Italy blue. Man, you're really giving some inside info on this pod.
I don't know if it's inside, is it anymore?
I mean, the only people that know those names are like people in the game and people at Nike headquarters. So you're dropping a little knowledge.
Hey, Nike.
Nike color code system.
Hey, Nike, I'm looking for sponsorship, baby. What's up? I mean, I wear all your gear all the time, man. So
all right, so you dropped two already. So what's the Nike color code for red?
So, I don't like talking about it because it's an Ohio State color, and I'm a Michigan fan. So, we don't talk about Ohio State on this podcast at all.
We're not talking about them, though.
No, we're not.
It's but the red. Many teams I'm have let you that tell red. Them the red. Many teams have that red. It's just not OHIO.
Right. I know, but it has that OHIO theme to it.
There's only so many reds, right?
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, it's a very, very bright red.
It is. It's got passion and battle.
Yeah. And it's when you see this new logo, it's something that turns heads. It really does. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the bull. I love, you know, the red, white, and blue bull. I've loved it begin when this whole thing started. I was like, please don't change the logo. You know, you can add a logo, but don't change the logo. I love that. And that's what I always loved about the Texans is that they stayed with that. But this right here was something that really just popped. And when you came to me and you were like, Ultimate, what do you think of the new H? And there was like two of them sitting there. And I literally looked at you and I think I said, if it's that one, I'll get it tatted on me. And you went and looked at me. You're like, really? You'll get it tattooed on you? And I was like, yeah, I will. And you're like, I'll hold you to that.
Good thing we chose that one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know if I would have gotten the other one, though, but we don't talk about
it. Now everyone wants to know what the other one looks like.
No.
Cutting room floor one day.
Yeah, you don't really get
maybe in some Texans documentary.
I think
like
I still have an
away.
NDA. I can't talk about that. But it's okay. I mean, we don't have to talk about it because it never came to fruition. Yeah. And I'm proud to have it, you know, and I'm proud to have the first one. I'm proud to have, you know, to wear it with, you know, with a badge of honor for me, you know.
Steve and Steve with the first ones.
Absolutely.
The two of you guys. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and same day within minutes of each other, you know, I mean, it was kind of crazy. And it's funny because now I've had people come up to me and they're like, hey, I love the H, got it myself. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. You know, and it's taken off and it's spreading like a wildfire.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I have fans that are asking me, they're like, hey man, what are you going to do to change up your paint? You know, how are you, and it's funny, before we got on here, we were talking about rebranding myself, and I'm like, man, you know, I hadn't really thought about it too much. And then, I just happened to buy, you know, the blue and I took the emblem and I'm like trying to match everything. And I'm just like, I want to be as close to it as I possibly can. And it's hard to find that blue. It really was to find it in, you know, paint. And so when I found it, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. Well, I couldn't find a dark enough blue that looked good enough. So I did go with the black. So it looked kind of different or whatever. And for that, even everybody was like, man, that looked good. And it literally popped on the cameras. And I was like, yeah, that's, you know, this is what I wanted it to do, you know. And everybody who saw both of those uniforms that I wore, they were just like, yes, like that's, you guys are going to be fire this year. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, we definitely are, but we're going to look good doing it too.
On field, off field, right?
Absolutely, man.
On field, off field.
What was yours? What was your favorite? What was your favorite part of all the uniforms, everything that come out, everything that you've done so far with the Texans? What was your favorite thing to do?
Does a parent ever pick a favorite child? I got four children now.
Yeah, but
they do in their head. Do they verbalize that though? I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, for my show, you could probably verbalize.
I guess. I'm here for a reason.
Yeah,
I gotta talk
a little bit. Yeah.
So I have two. I can't just straight up.
Okay.
So one, of course, is our Battle Red helmet. Just end to end.
Fire.
End to end.
Yeah.
From a complete uniform though, I'm on H-Town Color Rush.
Yeah.
Really, because what it represents. It represents a lot of different things, right? It represents something people never saw us coming 2 years ago. Would never dream the Texans were going to do something like that, right? Yeah. Two is the way to bring in our color, right? So there's immense, like I said, pride. Yeah. Pride is the word, right? You're representing your people. Pride.
Absolutely.
Brought that color in. And three is, you think about, yeah, NFL first and that stuff. Like, we put an H on a helmet.
Yeah.
Right? Like, certain teams that have their city on it now, they've had that for 40, 50, 80, 100 years.
Right.
New teams don't, they don't do that stuff. So for us, like, to be like, no, like, we talking about repping H-Town. We mean it this much that it's not some little cute thing at the bottom of the jersey. Like, it's on the helmet.
Right.
So for me, that's like, you look at that one from end to end.
Yeah.
It's like the ultimate, whether you like the exact art or not, it's the ultimate embodiment of listening to the fans that say, I want to rep my city. I want to rep my city hard.
Right.
And repping my city hard is actually more important than maybe repping the Texans. And that's why you see the H more prominent and the bullhead's just there, because that was the fan feedback. So for me, that one end to end is like, we gave the fans what they said from end to end. We delivered it and it looks awesome, dude.
It does, man. It's amazing.
Awesome. I mean, and it's already the locker room favorite.
Well, Doug, it's been exciting, you know, being able to talk to you about, you know, the logo and the transformation of the team and things like that. But it's funny, we have a few fans that asked a couple of questions.
Okay,
and
okay.
And one of the questions,
let's do it.
Of course, right? And one of the questions that came up, Hector asked us, he said, listen, he's like, what do you think about the U of H sticking to their guns with the H-Town blue colors and the Oilers look, if you might say, sticking to that? I don't see the Titans or anybody being able to say anything about that because it's college, right? I mean, it's a different angle, isn't it?
You know, I'm not a lawyer.
Right.
So you saw what happened last year.
Yeah.
So I can't.
Guns came out of blazing.
Right? I can't talk the inner workings of all that, right? But, you know, obviously the memo got out there, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, how can I keep it real with you, but also, you know, be professional in my response.
Yeah.
Right? What I would say is this, like, everyone has proven, meaning the city of Houston, Houstonians, they have proven that this color is part of our culture.
Yeah.
Right? And they've proven that it transcends football. And that's kind of where I start in this whole thing. Right?
Right.
Whether it's the history lesson of the color and the city flag and the city street tiles, whether it's the NASA, whether it's all this stuff, right?
Right.
And how that color is continued tradition now outside of football, right? Mm-hmm. All the cool clothing brands, the beer companies, the coffee company, like, everyone's using it. Travis Scott, light blue Jordan. Like, you go, okay, like, H-Town's proven this is our color. It represents our city. So for me, like, there's an immense sense of pride for any team that says, we'll play in this space. Right. And I say any team because, right, the Rockets have done it.
Right.
Dynamo Dash have done it a little bit, right? Now we have done it, right, as an accent.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, there's an immense sense of pride for any of us that say, hey, we're going to represent our culture and our people.
Yeah.
Right? So that's just like, all right, U of H, yeah. Let's go, right?
I mean, heck, it was one of our cop cars colors for the longest
time. Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah. So that's just pride. That's like, okay, like, let's own this thing, right? In our own, each of us in our own way. Two, and then you get specifically into U of H, right?
Right.
You know, for those that know me a little bit better, I got a little bit of punk rock soul, a little bit of, you know, against the man kind of thing,
right?
And that's kind of driven a lot of my career of, like, think different, disrupt, prove people wrong. So, like, I got a little rebellious nature in me. So when I see U of H being like, we're going to rock them.
Right.
Maybe Doug personal, not Doug the employee of the Houston Texans, but Doug as a human goes, heck yeah,
right.
Man.
Yeah,
rock and roll, right?
Yes.
And let's see where the chips fall.
Fight the man.
We had to play a certain game to get where we got.
Right.
And the conversation's never done. You know, you've heard Hannah have some good little media one-liners at times to be like, yeah, it's our city's color. Yeah, we'll see what the future holds, right? She'll share stuff like that because you just never know. So for me, it's like, this is one step in the journey for us. But then when I see others, man, that just makes me smile. That's an immense sense of pride to rep our people and
absolutely.
Rep our city.
And in hindsight, really, I don't ever think the Oilers colors or everything was ever really in the mix for us, right? I mean, it was like, you know what, let's just leave it there at Tennessee, let's rebrand, let's do our own thing. But, you know, we can bring hints back or whatever, but bringing the old uniforms was never like, yep, we're gonna fight this tooth and nail, we're gonna go back and beat them and do that. I don't really think that was ever in the cards, was it?
No, I mean, we're the Texans,
right?
We got our own brand.
Exactly.
We have 20 years of history. That's young, but it's still 20 years of history. So no other brand is ever going to overshadow or overtake us.
Right.
But the exercise is, how do you embrace the people in the city in this color?
Yeah.
Right? So whether now let's measure it. Let's say, ooh, there's 10% H-Town blue in your uniform.
Right.
Well, why does it have to be 10%? Maybe one day it's 30. Maybe one day it's 50. Maybe it's one day it's 70. Who knows as we go through future iterations, because it's part of us now.
Right.
It's part of the Texans now. But even if it was 100%, guess what? It's going to look like the Texans. It's not going to look like that other team.
Exactly.
So, that, you know, who knows what the next decade has in store.
Right. One of these guys, Hude Baby, he is a, he is a Cincinnati Bengals, one of the, what I call a super fan. And he asked, do you like pancakes? Yes, we like making them too. So we went on a Ronald McDonald, it was a tour for the Ronald McDonald in Canton, Ohio. We go up there every year and we have a reunion up there, the PFUFA, and he is one of my brothers in the PFUFA, and we got the opportunity to go to the Ronald McDonald House, and our job was to actually make pancakes that day. And when we were like, oh yeah, I like making pancakes, it's not a problem, right? We can go make a few pancakes for a few people. We did not realize that we were going to make over 300 pancakes that day. It was crazy. I don't think I've ever made that many pancakes ever again, but yes, those I do like pancakes, and it took a while for me to start liking pancakes after making 300 of them.
Dude, so. But I expect you with these guns, like you got like 8 spatulas, 10 different pots at once. Just come on, dude.
You know, I can fling me some things. Pancakes. Yeah, I can. You know, some flapjacks is something I can for surely do.
Now they're gonna ask me if I like pancakes.
Do you like pancakes?
People that know me, they know that I'm like Buddy the Elf.
Really?
Like syrup, sugar, all day. Like I probably would try the spaghetti with the Lucky Charms with the syrup.
Man,
I probably would try it. Like
that's a diabetic.
You wouldn't know at 150 pounds that I'm a sugar addict. But
yeah,
like,
I'm not
all day.
I don't weigh more than that. Not too much more than 100.
I mean, this is probably the only media appearance that I felt like I need to go do a bunch of push-ups before I come in here.
Oh, really?
Because you're Jack dude, right? So I'm like, all right, like
getting there.
Got to brush up a little
getting
bit.
Getting there, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's I keep telling myself, you know, that. That heavy set guy, it does add 10 pounds. It does add 10 pounds to the camera, does it? But
that's why you grow the beard. You can't see.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can't see my double chin. Yep. Man, it has been an experience. If you guys ever get a chance to see Doug at the stadium, because he's wandering around, he's there. He's, you know, he's always looking for new ideas, and he's always talking to these fans. And you walk up to him, thank him. I know I have. I don't know how many times I thanked him just letting me be a part of it. So thank you so much for actually coming on my first podcast. I wanted to let everybody know, you know, I'm actually wearing the old red jerseys.
And I think I even busted your chops already
you did.
For that,
you
right?
You busted my chops. Right. You're like, wait a second, man. You're bringing on the guy who brought in these new uniforms and you're going to wear this old stuff? What's wrong with you, Ultimate? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I did this in honor of you because this is the last time that you guys are going to see me in these uniforms. I'm getting all the brand new uniforms. They're being made. It's going to take time, ladies and gentlemen. So you people, they're like, why don't they have the stitch? They don't have the stitch because it's brand new, people. You guys got to understand it takes time to make this stuff. Trust me, I was the most impatient person ever when it came to this. I was like one of the people who was like, wait a second. Why can't I get these right now? And they're like, you don't understand. We don't even have the cloth yet. We don't even have the stuff to put it on yet, Steve. Yeah. Like, come on, man. And so be patient, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming.
They're coming.
They're coming.
There's 1,000+ units coming every single month.
Absolutely.
We'll be ready for training
looking
camp.
For those fitted hats. Those are coming too. I know they're coming.
4,000 hats coming in July. I'm not
really
kidding. 4,000.
Gotcha.
H-hats. We're going to be good.
Right.
Just going to
7.25.
Catastrophic success is what they call it.
Yeah.
The launch went so well.
Wow.
We sold out of everything, right?
Yes.
So fun fact. I know you're trying to wrap, but fun fact.
Yeah.
When we talk about how well things went and, hey, we're trying to get more jerseys and more hats and all that kind of stuff, of the teams in recent years mm-hmm. that have updated their uniforms, right? Texans.
Yeah.
Number one in retail.
It's crazy.
Number
isn't it?
One. Even no. during our best years,
right.
even during our best years, playoff runs, right. Dre, JJ, D-Hop, never number one.
Yeah.
Number one. So that shows how really the fans right. have reacted.
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about H-Town. Beyond H-Town, if you think about the .com business, right, the NFL yeah. shop, like they've run out. So that shows wow. you, like outside of our city, people are buying this stuff up.
Absolutely.
And the support is there. Yeah. So, you know, Texans number one in retail for uniform launch.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, Doug, thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate you being here. I want to thank everybody for coming and joining us for the Ultimate Fan Experience. Episode 1 is in the books, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for showing up.